Attention bobsled riders! You will soon be embarking on a thrilling podcast down the icy slopes of the Matterhorn. So please remain seated, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the bobsled at all times. Auf Wiedersehen!
Hello, yodelers! Welcome, this is the Matterhorn Yodelers. I am your host today, Peter, with my co-host...
Jason.
And...
Jackie.
And today we're going to have some fun at Disneyland today.
Yay!
Yay!
I love Disneyland!
Disneyland.
When will it open?
So, yeah, right? Yeah, who knows? Heaven knows. So, today we're going to talk about some of the little secrets, the little tidbits that a lot of people do not notice, or if they do notice, you realize has no real... reason of being there. For the most part, they're just random things that are there that kind of like have a special magic to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna kind of tour through Disneyland. We're gonna go land by land, and we don't have enough time to hit everything. We're probably gonna come back to this topic many times because we were doing that research and there's a lot.
There's so much. I was going through, I was like, that could be an episode, that could be an episode, that could be an episode.
Right. Oh, so man. We're just going to highlight on some of the ones that when you walk around the land, this will be information that, like, when you go with your family and friends, you're going to look really cool or really nerdy.
Yeah. Yes. Be that... pedantic guest, like, tour guide.
Oh,
you know?
Totally. You're going to be like, oh, did you see this? Well, this is a reference to this, and that is a reference to that. So, we're going to indoctrinate you in lots of absolute nonsense, but, you know, is very special. And what makes Disneyland special, for sure.
For sure.
So let's start off on Main Street.
Can I give the entrance?
Yes, let's start with the entrance heading into Disneyland itself.
So at the entrance of Disneyland, you see red bricks leading you into the park. And why, you ask? It's to give the guest a feeling of walking on the red carpet.
I was like, that's so nice. That feels so special.
They gave me the warm fuzzy.
That was a warm fuzzy. I was like, oh, copy and paste that. That was good. Throw that in the notes.
Walt actually wanted red curtains on the tunnels as if you were walking into a movie.
Oh.
That's cool.
But there was no real logistically way of doing that because of the rain and all that stuff of how to preserve that. So they decided to nix that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was good. Okay, let's continue down Main Street.
So, as you enter on Main Street, we're going to enter on the right side of it. And on the right side, we have the Opera House, which a little random fact about the Opera House, that is actually the first structure that was built on Disney property. That was the old Lumber House that they used to build Disneyland. So that was the first structure that was built, was in the location of the Opera House. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about is, because the Opera House is home to great moments with Mr. Lincoln, but before you get there, right in that entryway of entering the Opera House, there's a bench there. And that bench is very important to Disneyland /Disney history.
It all starts there.
Literally, the story of Disneyland starts in that entryway. There's a bench. A park bench, and that park bench originates at Griffith Park in Los Angeles, and that's the park where Walt Disney would take his daughters to go ride on the carousel, and as the story goes, as he would watch his daughters on the carousel, he would think and say to himself, I wish there were a place where the children and the parents could have fun together, which that would eventually come decades later into Disneyland. So, like, it's really cool to see that Disneyland
stole the bench and then...
Well, people... it's funny, though, because there's a thing about the bench where, like, Disneyland claims to have the bench, and so does the Walt Disney Family Museum claims to have the bench. And so I like to think of it as, I'm sure Walt sat in more than one bench and thought about this. So
it's kind of hard to pinpoint where the bench was. Correct. Unless he was like, I think it was that one. Was it that one?
Correct, because I even think there's one at Griffith Park that has a plaque on it that says Walt thought of Disneyland here as well.
Yeah, but that's not Disney, so that's some liars.
So I would just like to think that any of those park benches is where the origins of Disneyland began. So we're on Main Street. And what's the first attraction you see on Main Street? None other than the train station. Jackie, why don't you tell us about the train itself?
So the train, the part of the train, there's a, what is it called? Like a, an attachment?
A train car. A train cart.
And it's actually the only train cart that is original that's still in the park today that was there when the park opened. And that is, and it's named after Walt's wife, which is called the Lily Bell. And it's not on every train. And so it's only, and it doesn't come out every day. It just comes out on special times. And inside it's like all red.
It's decked out. It's very fancy inside.
It's got that red velvet kind of feel.
Fancy chairs.
Yeah. And so you can actually go in it generally on a tour that Disney does.
Yep.
It's like a day with Walt, I think.
A walk in Walt.
A
walk with Walt. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, so you can actually see the Lily Bell. I had an experience where I was at the park with my father. My dad asked a question about the Lily Bell cart, and the train conductor was all like, do you want to see inside? And my dad jumped on. I was like, yes. And we got
probably going to be like a top 25 day for him, at least.
Oh, yeah. And so we got to go inside it. I mean, not too far into it. And he got to sit on one of the chairs and take a picture, and it was a pretty magical moment. So.
Yeah, they tend to save that experience for with Club 33 members and things like that. So it's definitely a rare occurrence. If you're lucky, you can ask a cast member,
but don't expect it.
If it happens, it happens. If not, then you can observe it from the outside.
Yes.
But there is a special luxury train car on one of the trains.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that. So, we're traveling down Main Street, and let's say you're walking down, and you know it's going to be a long day. You've got your jacket. It's winter time right now, but in California, it tends to still be warm. So you want to go store your jacket away. Let's head over to the lockers. So as you walk down Main Street, halfway down Main Street, you make a right to the lockers. Well, right before you get put your jacket away, there's this brick wall. And you might say to yourself, who cares? It's a brick wall. But this brick wall is known as the test wall. It's very interesting because if you actually look at the wall, all the bricks are different. The style of laying the bricks are all different. And this was a test wall for when they were building Disneyland to test the different styles of bricklaying and how they would look. And so that's how they decided how they were going to do bricklaying throughout the entirety of Disneyland Park. They were going to demolish the wall, but they kind of ran out of money, so they just kind of built around it. And you can still enjoy that brick wall today. So you can point that out to your friends and family and be like, this has been here since the very beginning. And it's its purpose.
The very beginning. Ooh, I've got a fun fact.
Go for it.
There are mailboxes on Main Street. And those are legit mailboxes. You can mail, you know, back in the day, before we had social media, there were postcards, and you would mail them to your family or friends from Disneyland. Well, you can still mail through that. And they'll stamp it from Disneyland. Give it special, so people tend to do that with, like, Christmas cards.
Yep.
They come there, and they'll mail off their Christmas cards from there as well. So I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the mailbox, that they still operate.
It's a fun thing to do, that's for sure.
Do they even sell postcards anymore?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. Not as frequent as they used to, but you can find them still, for sure.
Okay. Ooh, I've got one more.
Go for it.
So there's Miss Tilly. She is the mannequin who works the Main Street Cinema. Her cast member name tag says she's from Marceline, Missouri. What's significant about that, Peter?
That's where Walt grew up.
Mmm. So it kind of pulls you back there.
Kind of the inspiration behind Main Street itself.
Yes, is that it's the time period of when Walt was there.
Yes.
Also, the American flags only have 45 stars on the buildings there. Also, they don't have, since it's not a flag standard, they don't have to have a light on it. So correct. They can have it flown in the dark without, like, offending people.
Yes.
Or disrespecting the flag. So, yeah, that's kind of pretty cool about, you know, taking it back to the time period of Missouri and where Walt's coming from and the theming of that. Also, with Miss Tilly, that is the name on the boat on Mount Mayday at Typhoon Lagoon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So that's what I got for Main Street.
That's great. Let's move on. We've crossed through Main Street. We can honestly spend an entire episode on Main Street. We'll probably talk a little bit more about
the windows.
Windows on a future episode. Because boy, is there a lot of information just on the windows on Main Street as well. So we'll come back to that a little bit later, and probably as we end our day at Disneyland, we'll make our way back onto Main Street and pick on a final couple details I want to point out. So let's head left, let's go to Adventureland. One little fact that people may not realize is that the Tiki Room shares this building with the Jolly Holiday Bakery. It's the same building.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you stand in that entry point in between where you see the bakery and you see the Tiki Room, you say that it's the same building. They're not two separate buildings. So like you see that drastic theme change. It's one of those things that once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy like how well Disney does a good job of changing that theme on a dime.
Oh, yeah.
It's very seamless.
Yes.
And then you have, like, the restaurant that was there for the Aladdin's Oasis.
Yeah.
And, like, a way how Disney transitions to different lands is by the cement on the floor of, like, the different design of it with, like, different imprints. So like as you're walking into Frontierland, it's more like walking on dirt, and you see like horseshoe prints and
yeah, they have that at Liberty Square at Disney World where they have this brown
the river trail, of poo.
And it's called the Pooh River. Yes. They feature that when we're getting trained there, and I was like, how authentic to put a brown poo.
We'll probably get back to that one when we do a Disney World episode, that's for sure. All right, so now we're in Adventureland, and I want to share this next one has a very big origin. This one dates back to a book that was released in 1955. It was a little golden book. Now, those, our yodeler Jackie here, she's looking over at her book over here. She's got a little gold book as well. And many of our followers, I'm sure you guys read many little golden book. Well, this one was called The Little Man of Disneyland. Okay, and this, how this one goes is that there was this little leprechaun. I wrote down his name. I forgot his name. But he grew up in an orange grove in Anaheim, California, where one day Mickey, Donald, and Goofy came, and they were planning on moving the Orange Grove so that they could build Disneyland. Well, they ran into the leprechaun, and so the leprechaun's like, what are you doing? And he says, oh, well, this is what we're doing. So they took the leprechaun to the studios and showed him the plans as to what they were going to build there. And he goes, I'll let you do it under one condition, that I get to live there. And so he lives in Adventureland, and for years, that's all it was just a story about a leprechaun that lived in Adventureland and says to keep an eye out for him, but you couldn't really ever see him until...
I never saw it until you showed me like 3 years ago. Correct. I was blown away. Well,
I mean, it's relatively new. As of 2015,
okay,
they added his house to Adventureland. You can see the leprechaun's house.
Where's the location?
You didn't specify. The location, for those who want to be spoiled, who don't want to look for it, so you'll never find it. It's well hidden. So if you're walking down Adventureland, you see the sign for the Indiana Jones Adventure, the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. If you take a look at that sign and where that sign is attached to the tree, go to the base of that tree and kind of look around. You'll see a little door, a little placemat, a window, and a little chimney spout. Yes. Oh. And that's where the little man of Disneyland lives today.
So such a strange little story.
And nobody would know what that was unless you knew.
Of course, you have to know.
Yeah.
Because you look at it and be like, well, that's weird, like a little house.
Correct.
There, if you found
you're like, Chip and Dale live there or something, but no.
Yeah, so it was a special thing that they added for the 60th anniversary of Disneyland.
That's pretty interesting. Well, while we're at Indiana Jones.
Hi. I'm a huge fan of the Indiana Jones
story. No way.
Story. I haven't
heard
this.
Wait, you are?
Huge fan. Like, yeah, can't even go into words. I've got a whole bookshelf of Indiana Jones material. But, all right, so I'm going to rapid fire some points. So the vehicle's in the queue. There's a truck that is from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you have a minecart from Temple of Doom. I've walked through that so many times. Never thought that was in the movies. They're actually from the movies. Blew my mind. I was like, what? All those times. There's a skeleton hidden in the temple and can be found showing Disney magic because he's wearing Mickey ears. And so I remember finding it, but I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. There's also Eeyore's parking lot sign in the projection room.
Do you know the origins of that?
No, but I've been looking for so long. Not the origin, but I've never found it until someone took a picture of it. I was like, it's right there.
You have to ask a cast member because they've got a flashlight. Because there's always a cast member there, and he'll point it out. He'll be like, it's right there, and he'll shine a light on it. But the origins of the Eeyore parking sign is that when they were building the Indiana Jones attraction, they had to build into the parking lot.
That was Eeyore's
parking lot was right there. And so that's why Eeyore's parking sign is located in the attraction.
How cool. I like that. All right, last fact. There's a restroom in the queue.
Which I didn't even know about.
Yes.
I wasn't even aware
of that. I'm assuming it's by the drinking fountain that's in the queue. That's where I think it's at. I've never been there. I think I've seen people go. I can't nail it down. So there's a bathroom in there. You could probably ask cast member there, but it was built in there because the queue is so long. It is the longest, but it's the best queue experience.
It's arguably one of the best queues out of any Disney park in the world.
I love it. That's all I got for Indiana Jones.
Great. Well, now we're moving on to New Orleans Square, which I know
so much.
Jake's got a lot on this one.
So much. Did you guys know that there's a flag of Louisiana that's flying in New Orleans Square?
Where at?
I have no clue.
Oh, okay.
It's
on one of the buildings.
It's flying.
Yes.
I had no idea. Blown. I was like, well, that's really into the theming. And
there's actually a funny story. When they opened New Orleans Square, Walt invited the mayor. And the mayor's all like, oh, yeah. Oh, Walt's like, yeah, it's just like New Orleans Square, but cleaner. And he did not like that. The mayor did not like that.
There's not drunken partiers. Oh, gosh. Well, we all know Disney is swept, like, what, every 20 minutes?
Every 20 minutes.
Good luck, Mayor of Louisiana. So there is a bricked up sunken archway in the Esplanada along the riverfront, out in front of the Haunted Mansion. It's Canal and New Orleans Square labeled 1764. is all that remains to unify this super theme that Imagineers were trying to do. So the plan was called for a crypt next to the Haunted Mansion that would lead you to a treasure pirate-themed tunnel system along, you know, it would connect Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Tom Sawyer's Island as this giant theme interconnected in New Orleans Square.
It's a great story arc that I wish came to fruition.
But it's still there, but it would have, like, really super themed the whole park. So it's supposed to connect, so you would enter in the crypt, which is Jean Lafitte, who is a famous pirate, smuggler, and American hero. He helped Andrew Jackson in the Battle of 1812 and the Battle of New Orleans. And so it goes into the, and you'll see the Lafitte, you know, theming throughout the area. You'll see the anchor that's there that transitions you from Frontierland to New Orleans Square. It's there, and it has been in the park, and the plaque has been there for years.
Yep.
There's pictures of it from early time of Disneyland. And so it's been a part of Disneyland's history, and it's part of the theming throughout. There's been restaurants and trading posts, and there's the landing point as you're getting onto the ride at Pirates of the Caribbean. It's named after Jean Lafitte. And so it's this story that goes, and it's, there's an Imagineer, and I forgot his name, but he wanted to connect all of it together or bring back the theming that Walt originally themed for.
I think
New
it
Orleans.
Was Mark Davis.
Was it him?
I think so. I could be wrong.
But there was one that was trying to rebring it back when they were trying to build up New Orleans, or they were bringing it back up. I think that's why the rumor of the 1764 is 200 years prior to the birth of this Imagineer, and that's where that comes out. So you'll just see this like archway, and you see a year, and you're like, "That's weird." And that's like a symbol of this giant idea of where they wanted you to enter in the crypt at the Haunted Mansion, and it would take you to the catacombs, where there would be pirate bones from the victims of Jean Lafitte, and you'd go to Tom Sawyer's Island, and there would be, instead of Fort Wilderness, there would be a pirate ship where there would be treasure, and there would be a little restaurant, and kids can get little drinks with Pop Rocks, which they said, well, that was really popular in the 80s, you know, Pop Rocks.
It was way of Disney trying to come up with a way for them to get rid of the rafts to travel to the island.
Oh, that would be so cool. I just thought, how cool would that be going from this point, and you're going through a tunnel, and it's like a pirate lair, and then probably a little treasure. I mean, the theming is just great, that it just brings it all together, because you're like, how did the Haunted Mansion get here? Like, you have this giant place, and there's these ghosts, and it kind of brings in, like, it was maybe Jean Lafitte's house before, you know, you got Master Gracie, where's his part, and there's stories more into it. Like, the Haunted Mansion is its own beast, but it's just so cool that it brought it all together. And so that's the one like little symbol, like 1764 is kind of like the lost dream of the catacombs.
And you know what? I don't think that dream's dead. I think that dream is still out there. I think one day we will get that catacomb.
I think so.
I think eventually, like, that they'll revisit that idea, because I still think that is an amazing idea, and I wish they will do it.
Let's get Elon Musk to just tunnel his way from like there. That's probably what it is, logistics of like tunneling up.
Yes, that would
the
be
in America.
You would have to like basically, you'd close the rivers again and and all that stuff.
Yes.
So it would be a logistical nightmare to make a new tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
And have it come up. Because,
structurally. Yeah. I mean, how comfortable would you be going in a tunnel in California, like, or I don't mean like going under overpasses and just like, okay, I don't know, this is the time when it goes and I get pancaked by a freeway overpass. I don't know. So while we're in this Haunted Mansion area, I'm just going to rapid fire some things. Stretch rooms, up or down? Well, at Disneyland, they go down because you need to go underground so you can go underneath the railroad track to get onto the ride. Disney World, it goes up. So when I worked at the Haunted Mansion at Disney World, you have everyone going, here's the elevator. It's not an elevator, because if it was an elevator going down, you'd be underwater, because the water table's so high, Disneyland, or Disney World is a floor up. So, just throwing that out there, so you know the difference.
Yeah.
So when you're in Madame Leota's seance room, there's a book open, and when I worked at the Haunted Mansion, it's open to page 1313. Why is 1313 important, besides it's a spooky number?
It's the address number of Disneyland.
Boom. Yep. It's right there. And also, where are we at? We are in the attic of the Haunted Mansion, where the bride is located. There's a chair in the attic. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to do Andrew Jackson first. Then I'll talk about the chair. And that'll segue me through the other part. So Andrew Jackson, his boots and uniform are there, which Andrew Jackson worked with Jean Lafitte. And Andrew Jackson was at Fort Wilderness before they shut it down. His uniform is in the attic. They say it wasn't themed that way. It was just, we're like, okay, let's reuse these props and just throw them in there. But it kind of shows the connection of everything with this little, like, super theme that could be, or is
mega,
there.
Mega land.
Mega, yes. Theme land, yeah, with New Orleans Square. Also, like I said, there's a chair in the attic that you'll see one of the bride's victims, one of the husbands he's sitting in. And that same chair is seen in Pirates of the Caribbean, where you'll see Jack sitting in it right before you're going up and leaving the ride. You'll see Captain Jack Sparrow sitting in this ornately carved chair with all the treasures. That same chair is depicted in the Haunted Mansion.
Crazy!
Yeah.
It's all coming together. Follow the lines. This is a conspiracy theory I can get behind right here, all right? So, takes you to the Pirates. Before you go into Walt Disney's, the Pirates of the Caribbean, in the iron, fencing above the ride, you'll see the initials of, what do you guys think? Walt and Roy Disney.
Oh.
I was like, that's so cool. Didn't know. Peter, yeah. Did you know?
I did not know.
Oh my goodness! I got one!
You got one on there.
All the times you look and you stand online and it's so subtle, it's there. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that's so cool. Spooky one. We've all heard this. There are real bones in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh. I think there's only one. There's
the skull, but there's also a skeleton that shows indication that it possibly is as well.
Ooh.
Because they've shown pictures throughout the years, and they've seen that this skeleton is decaying more than the known fake ones. And so, yeah.
And so you wonder, are these just cast members making up things? And there's kind of like reporting
yes.
of that the Imagineer employees got with UCLA Medical Center and got these bones from them to give an authentic feel to it.
Walt thought that the fake ones at the time just didn't look real enough. And so the story goes is that they made a deal and they got some real human bones.
So those who sold the land to Walt did so, or if they didn't, their bones are now there. Now that's a conspiracy theory I can get behind. No. So as we're exiting Pirates, you have the Pieces of Eight. Do you know where that is, Jackie?
No.
That's the gift shop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's so it's very popular. The name comes from the gold and silver money pieces. They're broken into eights. Back then you can cut up money. You can do it now, but it's not going to work anything, right? And so that's where the name comes from. Also, I heard that the Pirate League each has a piece, and there's eight of them. So there's that idea. So there's a monkey chandelier, and that there's a monkey on a chandelier in there, and that's the inspiration for Little Jack the movie.
Aww.
And then Jack Sparrow's Voodoo Doll, it's there in the Pieces of Eight store. It's behind the silver chalice. So if you're a huge Pirates fan, look for it.
It is one of my favorite gift shops at Disneyland.
It's got a great theme.
Yes.
It's like, it is.
It was nice. Cooler when they sold the guns.
Oh, yeah. Before they turned them into, like, oh, yeah, when they were, like, they look like real guns.
They look like real guns. Yeah. And then they put the orange caps on them, and now they don't even sell them anymore.
Yeah, then they turned the, like, Woodstocks to blue and orange. Yeah, so we grew up, they were, like, real guns.
Like, my parents, they bought me one that it looked real.
Uh-huh.
It looked real.
It was metal.
Yeah.
It was so heavy. Cool. I remember playing with it.
Oh, I learned how to, like, twirl it around. Like, I was a gunslinger.
It was a legit piece of toy.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take you there. There's one more thing in the Pirates area. You have Club 33. For those who don't know, it is a super exclusive VIP Disney Club. And it is really expensive. Do you know how much it is to get in, Peter?
It's like 10 or 20 grand. Or
it's like 25.
But the thing is, if you even have the money, there's a long wait list.
I heard it's up to 15 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the annual, like you get the membership, and then you got to pay an annual fee, which is like $10,000.
Yeah.
Annually. So I can see a lot of people signing up, and if you have the extra money to spend 30 G's for a membership there, but there's an elevator that takes you up, right?
And then, yes.
Like, there's a restaurant.
I've been in the lobby.
Yeah, we've been in the lobby before.
We did a tour. We did the Walk with Walt tour, and they let us stand in the downstairs lobby of the club where we got to take pictures inside the elevator.
Ooh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so at one point, it was the only place in all of Disneyland that served alcohol until Star Wars Land.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Galaxy's Edge was created and opened. So it's very subtle. It doesn't, like, announce itself. You'll, like, walk by it and you'll have no clue. But it is, for those who know, it is super exclusive. And it's like,
well, and now with, like, the remodel of Club 33, the old entrance has, like, the 33 sign next to it, but that's not the entrance to the club anymore.
They moved it.
Okay. So.
They moved it into a place that a lot of people are upset about.
Yes.
The Court of Angels. Do you know what the Court of Angels
was? No. The big staircase.
It was this, like, big secluded outdoor space that had, like, a spiral staircase that went upstairs.
It was like a place to eat lunch.
Yeah, it was really nice and peaceful, but they blocked it off, and a bunch of Disney fans were sad that they lost their Court of Angels.
Yeah.
But supposedly I heard Disney's working on making it so that it can come back one of these days, but we'll see.
So let's take the train station.
Okay.
So Peter, you've got something really special at the train
station. So at the train station, this is probably one of my favorite things I have when I go to the park with friends and family, is that, like, well, because honestly, the New Orleans station is probably the station I feel I use the most, because I feel it's the most accessible out of all the stations.
It's right next to the bathroom.
It's mm-hmm. It's close to the main path of everything. Like, most of the other ones, you kind of have to go out of your way to get to it. This one's just right there. So it's very convenient. So I always end up going to that station. Well, that's interesting about that station. Well, there's a lot of things. But the one I want to talk about is, normally when you're sitting there, you're waiting for the train, you hear a little clicking. And obviously you can recognize that as Morse code, and there's always somebody there that's always like, I wonder what that Morse code is. And so that's when I come up and look super nerdy and go, let me listen. And I look really like I'm concentrating, listening on the clicks, and I go, to all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. And it's the opening speech, or most of the opening speech.
Like, it's only a portion.
It's only a portion of the opening speech of Disneyland. But next time you find yourself at the New Orleans station, you can be that person that's trying to listen to the clicks and be like, to all who come to this happy place, welcome. And at first they'll be like, is that real? And be like, that's really what's happening there. Not that you know. what the clicks are.
I know Morse code.
It's just one of those fun things that you can have fun with other people with.
Sure. So we get on the train, and one thing I like, because there's an Indiana Jones theme, there's, as you're riding along, as you're heading towards Toontown train station, to your left, the opposite side of the scenery, because you're usually just looking at the scenery, you look to the left at one point, you'll see like an outhouse and a little house that says Indiana. And this is a reference to George Lucas's character Indiana Jones, because in The Last Crusade, they mentioned that Indiana is named after the dog.
The dog?
Fond memories with that dog. So, again, another Star Wars, another George Lucas character, you know, reference right there. And then as you continue on there, you'll see a Native American chief sitting on a horse. He's waving and greeting all the railroad and steamboat passengers. His name is called Chief Wave-A-Lot, because that's what he does. He waves a lot. I was like, oh, that's fun. I like that.
That's great. So, while before we head off into Toontown, I'm going to backtrack us. We're in Critter Country now. There's one little fact I want to share about Critter Country. Because do you guys know what the original name of Critter Country was?
No.
Bear Country.
Oh, yeah.
It was Bear Country because at the time the only thing there was the Country Bear Jamboree. Well, then in later on, in the 90s, they added Splash Mountain. Okay? And inside Splash Mountain, they added a tribute to the Country Bears. One bear in particular, Rufus. Rufus the bear is the bear that they would always wake up. Rufus, wake up! It's showtime! And he's always sleeping. He's the technician. He turns the lights on and things like that. Well, he had a little home in Splash Mountain. So as you get on Splash Mountain on the ride, before you get to the story portion, before the first big drop, you'll hear a snoring and a little cave that used to say Rufus. But then when Country Bear Jamboree left, they changed it to Brer Bear. Now, that snoring noise has at least one other use. Before, we're going to go back in time to the time of... right? We're going to go back in time to nature through... what is it? The railroad through nature's wonderland. The attraction that used to be where Big Thunder Mountain is, which is this slow-ish train ride through the desert and different environments. Well, there was this part with bears, and there was a recording of a snoring bear there. And so it's considered one of the oldest theme park sound effects still in use today in the world. Mm. Now, if you listen at Disney World, it's a different snore than the one at Disneyland. But...
So you can imagine if Peter sat you down in a chair back in there and like, which bear is it? Is it Disneyland bear? Or is it Disney World bear? You can't leave until it's done.
I can imagine who would do that today.
I wouldn't put it past me. But supposedly, now I've only heard this from a couple sources, so I'm not, take this fact with a grain of salt, but that snoring noise has another origin that dates back to 1937. Do you know what Walt Disney was working on in 1937?
Snow White.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So, the story goes, is that they recorded the actors who did the voices for the dwarfs, them snoring, because there's a whole scene with them sleeping, and a bunch of them are snoring. So the rumor goes is that that snore is the same snore that one of the snores from one of the dwarfs, it's not confirmed as to which one. People like to say it's sleepy, but... it's not confirmed just which dwarf it originates from. But that snore that you hear in Splash Mountain supposedly originates all the way back to Snow White and the Seven
Dwarfs. I think it's Snow White. I think it's her.
Who knew that there were so many facts about one sound of snoring?
So, now that we've got that out of the way, there's, again, we could go on more and more, but we need to get this train a moving. Okay.
It's Main Street.
So let's move on into Fantasyland here. Okay. So we're in Fantasyland. There's lots of little tidbits. a lot of little quick facts. What are some of the quick ones that you guys can think of?
Their Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and Peter Pan Flight have a weather vane that associates with the ride. So you have to look up on the roof. Weather vanes can tell you which direction the weather or the wind is blowing. So there's themed weather vanes up there. And also the Evil Queen appears every 20 seconds in the window, looking down at Snow White's ride.
Yeah. Hopefully that's still there.
I think it is.
I don't know. They haven't announced that yet with the recent changes to the ride. Yeah. So we don't know.
Yeah, the carousel came from Canada.
Toronto.
Yeah, and they say it's probably older, but they have documents saying it's was 1920 was the age of the carousel, but they believe it's to be older.
And how much of the original that's there? I think that remains to be...
It's one of those things. If you bought a boat and replaced all the outside portions of the boat, is it the same boat or is it a different boat? It's one of those situations. Like, how much of this is really the same?
Yeah, but with the carousel... There is all the horses on the outside are the most decorative horses, and they have the most detail. And one of the horses is called Jingle.
Jingles.
And this was Walt's favorite horse.
Walt's wife's favorite horse.
And Walt's favorite horse.
Oh, okay.
You like what your wife likes.
That's true.
And
you like
so
what you
this
like.
Horse, Jingle... is also called the lead horse. So before the, you know, technology got better and the ride system, the cast members would keep an eye on Jingle of how many times it would go around to control the ride. So Jingle is considered the lead horse.
Hmm. I did not know that one.
Yeah. And so actually all the horses have names, and you can get a list of all the names at City Hall. But going back to Jingle, Jingle's got dedicated for Julie Andrews, to Julie Andrews, and it is now more of a Mary Poppins horse. And so when Mary Poppins rides the carousel, she rides Jingle.
So she kicks the kid off. Get off my horse.
Why Julie Andrews? Do you know? I do. Okay, I'll share. So the reason why Julie Andrews got her own horse wasn't because of Mary Poppins. That's just, they did that
presumed.
Because, yeah. It's presumed it's because of Mary Poppins. It's because she was the ambassador to Disneyland during the 50th anniversary. So if you look on the horse, it has a little 50 on it as a sign of her being the ambassador of Disneyland during that celebration.
So where's the 49th ambassador? they're like the one in the bag. He's got a broken leg.
You got the leg of that garbage can on the docks.
But funny story about Jingles and Mary Poppins' horse now is that was I met Mary Poppins on her horse. And that was the first moment I fell in love with Mary Poppins. And for those who don't know, I am obsessed with Mary Poppins.
So I'm obsessed with Indiana Jones. And then Jackie's obsessed with Mary Poppins. And then Peter's got a secret love affair with Meg from Hercules.
That's a secret.
This is the secret episode.
Well, this is a secret that dies with me. And my wife does not like the fact that I've kept this secret. She doesn't even know this secret, and she's mad at me because I haven't told her. So
it's fun to hold secrets of. When it's pointless. Yeah.
So another little secret or a glimpse into the past. In a prior episode, we had an interview with our father, Yodeler, where he talked about one of his favorite memories was a shop, the Tinkerbell toy shop, okay, where he got to pick at least one toy in there. That was a special memory that he held on to. Well, now that shop doesn't exist. It's now the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique if you want to spend $500 to dress your daughter up like a princess. But there's still origins of that of the Tinkerbell toy shop out on the outside of the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. If you look on the outside, you'll see faces on the pillars, on the wood post of different Peter Pan characters. So you'll have Captain Hook, you'll have Shmi, and the crocodile. Now, there were four, but one of them got taken away when they overlaid the entirety of Fantasyland in the 80s. And do you know what character that was? Nana.
Poor Nana.
Poor Nana. That's right.
You set us up for that, didn't you?
I totally set you up for that. Yes, that was totally on purpose. So that's a little thing there. Another random tidbit for Fantasyland is that in the past, before you got to ride attractions, you had tickets. You had to use tickets. Well, you can actually still see a lot of those ticket stands still inside Fantasyland, especially. For example, you've got that giant mushroom that's in the queue for Alice in Wonderland. That used to be a ticket stand, as well as the giant lighthouse for Storybook Land Circus, Storybook Land Canal boats. That was a ticket.
No idea about that.
Okay.
So, yeah, you'll see little things that they've obviously, like, you won't be able to see the doorway where the cast member used to sit in. Now they've sealed and closed those things off, but those things had purposes before looking like that. So, let's do a quick rundown because we are the Matterhorn Yodelers. Let's at least get a good Matterhorn secret out there.
I got one.
Go for it.
There's a basketball court inside the Matterhorn.
There's a basketball court up there. Well,
it's not full length. There's a hoop.
There's a hoop.
And you can, there's a little room where you can shoot around. I mean, there's no point putting a hoop if there's...
So, you can't really see it as a guest.
No.
But if you do watch the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, you will be able to get a chance to see it in that documentary. They do show it off there. So
it's there. It's real.
It's a real thing. Bob Gurr got to got to shoot a hoop on it. Great Imagineer. So
Tomorrowland.
What are some of the ones that you have for Tomorrowland?
All plants are edible, so you can eat it, but don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
They use pesticides and spray it, and they're dirty. They're good. No, just don't do it.
That just went with the vision of that idea of tomorrow, where everything you, all space is utilized properly.
It would be practical. I like that idea. Okay, that's all I got.
Okay.
Peter took away one of mine.
Okay, so I've got one. One that's got technically two. But when you exit Buzz Lightyear, right, you exit the ride, you got two paths. You either go out to the to Tomorrowland or you go into that gift shop, the little green man gift shop. Inside that gift shop, you may not realize it, but you're looking at Disney history in there, of Tomorrowland history. Okay? So let's say you're looking for merchandise and you look at this shelf that looks like a rocket. Well, that rocket-looking shelf is actually an old ride vehicle that was the Astrojet vehicle that used to go up above Tomorrowland that you can actually, and you can tell it was a ride vehicle because you can still see the handlebar that the guests would use to lower and raise your rocket. And there's two of them in there. They're repainted, so they don't look like they did originally, but you can still see those rockets in there being, I think, storing either a shirt or backpacks or whatever they want to put in there. But that's not the only thing that's in there. So after you've picked out your merchandise, you make your way over to the counter. If you look down at the counter, that counter is made from the People Mover. A People Mover vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So you've got a little bit of history inside that shop. Whether you realized it or not, you got to see a little bit of history of Tomorrowland. There's not too much of it left. That place has been plastered and destroyed. A lot of people were upset about a mural that was recently destroyed in Tomorrowland.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
So There's not too much in Tomorrow. Well, there is, but well, there isn't.
There's some in Star Tours that my yes. buddy, who when I worked with, or when I was roommates with during my college program, he went to Disneyland and was working at Star Tours. And at Star Tours, he was telling me where you see like Admiral Akbar, and he's sitting up there. He says, "Yeah, the lower part they didn't change. It's the same like mannequin from the ride previous."
Oh yeah yeah yeah.
So it's nothing. Nothing. I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. But also, while you're waiting in that queue, you may hear an announcement for the calling of passenger, Mr. I can't even say his name. Do you know how to say the name?
Igroig...
Sakul?
Yeah, something like that.
And that's basically George Lucas. Not basically. It is George Lucas.
Spelled backwards.
Spelled backwards. So you'd be like, oh, George Lucas, he's running late. So that's what I've got for that ride, or... for Tomorrowland.
All right. I
almost forgot about that.
Yes. So we're getting close to the end of the day, but before we get to
the castle real quick?
We can do the castle, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's take a look at the castle.
So there is a time castle, a capsule in front of Disneyland for the 40th anniversary. And it is to be open, what was it, 2035? Is that when it's supposed to be? 40 years. It's 40 years after it's being buried, so... kind of curious what they're going to excavate from that. Yeah. The tank
15 more years.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Isn't that? Like, yeah. We have a poster from the 40th or 45th, but it's just, it's crazy how, you know, at the 80th, which is what, 15 years away, it'll be there. Well, 14 now.
My goodness. 14.
We'll see. But that, I thought that was cool that they have a time capsule there at the castle.
Okay, so I've got a couple little random ones that you can look out for when you're walking around. They're just fun. For example, they're the little toaster, the toasty roasties. That's what they're called.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so if you go around and look at all the different popcorn carts in the different lands, they're all themed differently. And you can tell if you walk up to the cart, you don't have to buy the popcorn to see this, but you'll see these little toy figurines just turning the popcorn. They're running the popcorn machine, and they're themed differently. You'll have, like, ghosts in front of the Haunted Mansion. You might have a clown in Fantasyland.
I like the Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer in Tomorrowland. Oh, and, of course, the Yeti in front of the Matterhorn. The Yeti is roasting some popcorn. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Also, the garbage cans. Garbage cans are themed throughout all different lands.
Yep.
The one I want to point out is in Galaxy's Edge. And we'll probably get into more Galaxy's Edge Easter eggs probably later on.
Sure, that's not a droid?
No. So the garbage can has a number on it. And I don't have the number listed at the top of my head. But that number on the garbage can is the number that Luke Skywalker tells C-3PO which garbage compactor they're in.
Oh.
And that's listed on all their garbage cans over there.
That's cool.
Good theming there.
Right?
Good job.
It was a fun one. I saw that. I was like, that's cool.
It's, you just, when you see Imagineers, you're like, I see what you did there.
Somebody watched Star Wars. Someone did their homework.
Okay. So now it's the end of the day. It's getting dark. We're heading back down Main Street because... well, as we head out the exit. So, I've got two more left, and they're about lights. Okay? The first one is at the refreshment corner. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, if you look at the lights in the refreshment corner, they're yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow, red. Well, as you look at all the lights, you'll notice one light bulb that has both of them. And this has origins all the way back to 1955, when they were installing all these little popcorn lights, they ran into an issue where they added them on two opposite sides, and when they met in the middle, they realized they were off. And so, because it's, you know, white, red, white, red, white, red. And so Walt's solution was, well, make one half red and the other half white. And to this day, they have a red and white light bulb
that's lit. That's King Solomon's approach. Just cut it in half.
Just cut it in half. And to this day, you can still see. It's not like Disney can just be like, okay, we're just going to redo it all now. Like, that would be an easy solution for them. But because that has a Walt touch, they've kept that in there to this day. Okay, and now we're going to close things up. I might get emotional right now. So this little thing, probably most people know. And this is the light at the firehouse. So for those who don't know, which you probably do, because this, in my opinion, I think is probably one of the more well-known things.
I don't know this.
So I'm gonna You will as soon as I tell you. You'll know it. Like, this is very well-known. So as most people know, Walt lived, well, he had an apartment above the fire station on Main Street, okay? And he visited Disneyland often. And a tell sign that Walt was in the park was that he'd always leave the lantern on above in one of the windows to let the cast members know, as well as the guests know, that he was in the park that day. He wasn't one of those CEOs that, like, he opened things up and then never showed up.
Wasn't an undercover boss. You know, he showed up.
Like, he wasn't one of those CEOs that would just only show up for, like, big events. He went to Disneyland often because he loved it. You knew he loved Disneyland. He would go there so often.
He's a tinker. You just keep going.
Oh, totally. Like, he would show up before the park opened and would drive his Main Street vehicles up and down before the park would open. Like, he loved Disneyland. And so when Walt died, bringing this down, when Walt died, you know, Disney management decided to keep that lantern on as an indication of Walt always being present at Disneyland. Sorry, I'm getting emotional right now. So, it means a lot to me because I have one of these weird... You can call it a tradition. Every time I go to Disneyland, it's if it's my last day at that park, I will stand at a certain point in Town Square where I can see the castle, and I can see his apartment and his light. And I would quietly think to myself and thank Walt for the wonderful gift that he gave. That. Not only I get to enjoy, but everyone really enjoys and loves. And that's what kind of this whole episode has been about. These little things that make Disneyland special. All these things that we've talked about, they didn't have to do any of these things. They didn't, like, you don't go into the park going, oh, I want to hear that snoring noise on Splash Mountain. That's going to worth my ticket. No, they didn't have to do... these little secrets. They didn't have to do those, show those little tidbits, but they have them there because it's part of the magic. It's part of the experience. And I think Walt's lantern is the perfect example of what makes Disneyland truly special. And that's kind of the note I wanted to leave us on, that, you know, we would not have what we love today without that man, Walt Disney. Sorry, I'm really losing it.
It starts
with the bench and it ends with the land.
Yeah. With the light.
And
the light continues to show that he's there, and the dream continues. So it's a continuous dream, and I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I had no clue about that.
Oh, really?
And I think, oblivious. And I think it's very poetic and very beautiful. And I really appreciate you sharing that. I will certainly appreciate that tidbit.
So let us know. This is up on you guys. Let us know what your favorite secrets were. If there were one that surprised you or ones that we didn't mention. Because, again, there's hundreds.
Oh, there's so many.
There's hundreds of them. Just participate. We're going to do our best to try to post some of these pictures of some of these secrets on Instagram. We'll do our best. But,
comment if you want to see certain pictures. We can definitely post them.
To where you can look for them or be like, what are you talking about? Like the little house, that's a good one.
Yeah. And if you like this episode, don't be surprised if we do another one, because this was a lot of fun for me to work on, and I'm sure my fellow yodelers enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was just doing like a myths one, or especially with the Haunted Mansion, like that's the tip of the iceberg.
Oh yeah, like even just doing individual attractions. Pirates, Haunted Mansion, Small World, things like that. So we'll definitely dive more deeper into more secrets, and we'll even go into Disney World. So let us know. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, as well as email us at thematterhornyodelers@gmail.com. And until next time, au revoir, Zane.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Matterhorn Yodelers. Please remember, before your bobsled comes to a complete stop, to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And remember,
remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.